Well, indeed, it's a great joy and delight for me to be with you this evening. Thank you, Pastor Jenkins. This church has been supporting when Pastor Gene Lastly was the pastor, that has been continuing in the present. Thank you, Pastor Jenkins, and appreciate Dr. Vickers and his kindness in taking me around and taking care of my needs, and I thank you so much. Such a man to be around. I often tell people he is a walking dictionary. I cannot understand how he remembers all these names and dates and people. Thank you again. We don't take anything granted. And I mean it with all my heart, what you do for the ministry there in that land. We are anxiously awaiting for your pastor to come and conduct the evangelistic crusade. The last time when he was there in India, he left a lasting impression in the hearts of our people. We are looking forward to your coming over there, Pastor. Thank you so much. This church family sending him again to India. We promise that we will send him back to you. Well, I was thinking, I went through 4 or 5 different messages. Finally, I settled upon one. I know that I cannot preach all the 5 messages. This message I never preached in a mission anywhere. But as I was talking to Pastor Jenkins, this thought came to my mind. I thought I'll put it together, a message. You know, there is nothing under the sun. Everything what you hear, you have already heard. So I am going to re-emphasize the truth you have already learned. Now, the most important thing, whatever we are going to hear, are we going to appropriate the truth? Am I going to act upon it? That's the thing. That's all. That is all about mission. You have heard hundreds of messages on missions. What tonight I would like to do, I have taken 5 principles. Can you all understand me? Okay. I have taken 5 principles from the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to tie those principles in the area of missions. Now, people who teach homiletics, they would say, you don't give your outline first. But I'm going to go ahead and give my outline first. The title of the message is this: Facing Reality with Real Solutions. What is the reality? Men and women all across this globe dying and going to hell. That's the reality. 7 billion people. I do not know how many of them are truly born again in this 7 billion people. But more than 3.5 million people never ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. You and I, we have a solemn responsibility to reach those people with the gospel. I'm going to give my outline. 5 important truths for the mission to reach the lost. And I studied through this. Every missionary who went to the field or planning to go ought to have these 5 principles. Number 1, if you want to reach the lost with the gospel, you should be a man of passion. Passion, compassion. Without passion, you will not do anything. Number 2, passion alone is not sufficient. You need to be a man of prayer. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, you find all these 5 principles Nehemiah practiced. He was a man of passion. He was a man of prayer. When God laid the burden in his heart to build the walls, he prayed, he moved with compassion, Then he realized, I cannot do it by myself. The mission work, you and I, we cannot do it alone. We need people. When God placed the burden in his heart, he went and shared with the people. So I will explain all those things. Number one, you need to have a passion. Number two, you need to pray. Number three, we need people. The Lord himself said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. The only one prayer request the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us and said, pray, pray. That's the prayer request which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. So number one is passion. Number two, pray. Number three, people. Number four, I haven't forgotten. I'm pausing myself. We need to have positive attitude. Positive attitude. When you are going to serve the Lord, you are going to be confronted with problems and difficulties. Men would come and ridicule and mock you. But you need to have the positive attitude. Just like Nehemiah, who said, when the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Perizzites and all those people who came around, they said, even that which you built, a fox goes up, it's going to fall down. You know what did he say? God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Many, many years ago, when I was going to build a building, we had a lot of difficulties. Men came around and said, no, it's not going to happen. Then as I was studying the book of Nehemiah, the Lord strengthened me with that words. God of heaven, think for a minute what a title by which he called God and said, God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Passion, pray. What is the next one? People, positive. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Then the last one is perception. When the enemies came and called him, what did he say? I perceive, that simply means discernment. I perceived that he is there inviting me to do me mischief. So many problems in the mission field today. Men and women, they have made a lot of compromise. They don't have much of a perception. They don't have much of a discernment in what they do. That's why they end up in preaching something not according to God's word. So that's the four, five points upon which I'm going to dwell this evening. Well, I'm going to read the first six verses from the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. I'll be picking few verses from here and there. It is not an expository message. The book of Nehemiah chapter 1, I'm going to read the first six verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that he had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. You know, three words truly moved the heart of Nehemiah. Three simple words. Notice verse three. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great, the word affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned 7 days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful day, for your word, as we are going to meditate upon your word. Look into your word, Lord, I pray, thou wilt truly speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord. Cause us to have a passion for the souls that are perishing day after day. Move our hearts, as you have moved the hearts of Nehemiah, Lord, to do a great work. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, there was a wise man who walked to go to the, he used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his walk. One day as he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw a human figure moving like a dancer. He smiled to himself at the thought of someone who would dance to the day, and so he walked faster to catch up. As he got closer, he noticed that the figure was that of a young man and that he was not dancing at all. The young man was reaching down to the shore, picking up small objects and throwing them into the ocean. He came closer still and called out, "Good morning. May I ask you, what is that you are doing?" The young man paused, looked up, looked and replied, "The sun is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them in, they will die." Upon hearing this, the wise man commended, "But young man, do you not realize that there are miles and miles of shores all across here? All along every mile, you can possibly make, all along you find there are lot of starfish. You can't possibly make a difference." At this, the young man bent down, picked up yet another starfish, and threw it in the ocean. As it met the water, he said, "It made a difference for that one." Isn't it amazing? He could not save all the starfish, but he took one at a time and throwing it. When the wise man asked him, "Oh, young man, you cannot save all the starfish. There are millions of them." As he was talking, he bent down and picked another starfish and threw it in the sea and said, "It made a difference for that one." You and I, we can make a difference at least talking to one person. You may not be able to reach the 7 billion people. It's impossible. But you can talk to some people, and that will make a difference. I remember my cousin who shared the gospel with me in 1967. I went there to see him, to talk to him. He took that opportunity and shared the gospel with me. That day in 1967, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Edward Everett Hale, this is what he said, "I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." You can do something, my friends. You can pray. You can give a tract. You can do something. Each one of us can do something. And I was truly challenged by the book of Nehemiah. You know, if you wanted to learn something about leadership, I just go and read it again and again, the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah has been a great challenge to many. Nehemiah means the Lord has comforted. It is one of the post-captivity books. We don't have many facts about Nehemiah, but we have a lot of details of what he has done to build the walls. It's not amazing. He was in Shushan, the palace, the ancient capital of Persia. That was about 700 miles from Jerusalem. You know, it's amazing. God in his providence kept people in different places for his own glory. Esther, the Lord kept her in the palace of Ahasuerus. Daniel in Babylon. Joseph in Egypt. What that tells us, God has placed us here in Great Tennessee and Johnson City and other places. That's the grace and the mercy of God, that you and I can be a vessel in the hand of God. So God has a purpose in keeping us here. Nehemiah wanted to hear from his brethren what is happening there in Jerusalem. When his brother Hanani explained to him and said, the people are in affliction and in reproach. Notice what is happening. In verse 2 says, he said, I asked them. There are some people, they don't want to hear anything. They do not want to know anything. Some people prefer not to know what is going on. The attitude, what you do not know can't hurt you. The slogan for the 1987 AIDS publicity campaign was, don't die of ignorance. American historian Henry Adams said, facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. Do you care to know the facts, what is happening around the world? Let me give you. India alone has got over 800 million Hindus worshipping 33 million gods and goddesses. That's the common scenery. You can ask your pastor and Dr. Harry Vickers and those who have visited us, Brother Mullins. It's a common scene all across my country. People go and bow down those idols. The Bible tells us, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Over 1 billion Islamic people, part of them are ISIS and all kinds of wicked things they do. There are 55 countries in the world. 55 countries in the world have less than 10% Christians. 44 of those countries are in Asia. The least evangelized country is the part of Asia. Almost 4.4 billion non-Christians in the world. Closing our eyes and ears to the truth could be the first step toward tragedy for ourselves as well as for others. Now, having said all these things, what can we do? How can we reach these people with the gospel? I already gave you the outline. I simply picked these five truths from the book of Nehemiah to apply to the mission. Number one, Nehemiah was a man of passion. It says, when he heard the people are in affliction, he sat down and wept and mourned. It is not just a sobbing. It is not just an emotional cry. There are two words used in the original language. Both tells us he cried, grievously he cried. Just like one of the son or daughters or relatives, when they die, how people cry. That's the way Nehemiah cried. He was under great burden. Now, because the burden was so heavy, he wanted to do something. Every missionary who went, true missionaries who went into the field, they were all men of great passion. Von Sindorf said, I have but one passion. It is he alone The world is the field, and the field is the world, and henceforth that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. John Knox cried out and said, the Scottish missionary cried out and said, give me Scotland or else I die. 1 Corinthians chapter 19, verse 16, Apostle Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know what the word woe means? Grievous, distress, trouble to me. Every day we come across people. You and I, we have the solemn responsibilities to tell them about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we shun away, we are afraid. But the Lord said in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, would you pray tonight and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion. As I said, this is nothing new you are hearing, nothing under the sun. This is nothing new that I am bringing from God's word. You already heard, maybe a million times that you have heard. Now the question is this, am I willing to apply the truth and am I willing to act upon what I am hearing? That is one of the things made the people in Thessalonica a special people. If you want to know something about the victorious Christian life, you need to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. When Apostle Paul preached, the people in Thessalonica, they appreciated it as the word of God. Paul would have been disappointed if those people had received what Apostle Paul preached as the word of Paul. Friends, this is the word of God. Then what is the second thing? They anticipated every time when Paul or someone else was there, they wanted to hear. No one was there to coax them. No one's there to beat them. Go to church or go on here. They anticipated. There must be an anticipation. Appreciation and anticipation alone will not do it. To do a work for the Lord, we need to appropriate the truth. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. They appropriated the truth. And in other words, they applied the truth. May God Almighty help us tonight that you would pray and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion. You may not be an eloquent preacher, or you may be timid to tell some people, but you can just give a tract or in a simple words explain the way of salvation. The second thing, for the progress of the mission, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. The history of mission is a history of answered prayers. Anything you accomplish on the field is an answer to prayer. You know, Nehemiah himself, he wanted to do a great work. He fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Verse 6 tells us, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, he prayed day and night. To whom did he pray? He prayed to the God of heaven. He could have simply said, that's their problem. I am enjoying my life in the palace. Because of their sin, they are suffering. No, that was not his attitude. And he wanted to do something. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you find about 11 of Nehemiah's prayer. Having prayed, he went to the king and shared his heart burden with him, and he has given him leave to go and build the wall. So we need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. This reminds me about John Hyde. How many of you have heard about John Hyde? A missionary from Illinois. In 1911, he died. He was known as the praying hide. Just before he died, just before he breathed his last breath, he uttered some words in Hindi language, one of the Indian languages, Hindi, and he died. One account I read, face down one time, 36 long hours he prayed. He was interceding for the lost souls. May God Almighty help us to be men and women of prayer. John Hyde had so many nicknames. One of them, some referred him as the man who never sleeps. Others called him as the apostle of prayer. What a tremendous testimony. You may not be able to do anything, but you can pray. You know, you may not be able to go out. You may be confined to a wheelchair or to your bed. But can you pray? The Lord said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. What a unique opportunity. You know, the prayer request is given by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need to take it very seriously. Passion, prayer. I know one person alone cannot do it. Nehemiah realized that he cannot do it by himself. But he went and shared to his people. Notice, this is an amazing truth. Chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. I would like to read that. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Notice here, he gave a call to the people and said, come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, notice this, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the servants, the Ammonites, and Geshem, the Arabian, and heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven. And he realized that he alone cannot do the job. He went and shared with the people. You know what we need to reach the world with the gospel, friends? We need a group of men and women whose heart, what? God has touched. That's what we need. A group of men and women whose heart God has touched. They can do the job. And Nehemiah went and shared the burden with his friends and said, let us do it. There was oneness of mind they wanted to do to build the walls. He challenged all kinds of people, all the people. I was reading the tremendous response he got from the people. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for that good work. Your pastor has a lot of good thing going on in his mind. He shared some of those things with me. What a tremendous vision to reach the world with the gospel. I tell him, he's a young man, a lot of potential there to do a great work for the cause of Christ in and around the world. You know, Nehemiah talked to the people. He notice in chapter 3, verse 1, all kinds of people helped him. The high priest, in chapter 3, verse 1, then Eliasahib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, priests, and they builded the sheep gates. Notice verse 3, 8. Next unto them repaired Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, the goldsmith. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and you know, the perfumers. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 8. Notice verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shallum, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, and his daughters, rulers and women. Then next unto him, and merchants, notice chapter 3, verse 32. Chapter 3, verse 32. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmith and merchants. Then notice chapter 3, verse 17. The Levites. Chapter 3, verse 17. After them repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Bani. Next unto them repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah in his part. What is the principle? He called all kinds of people, businessmen, doctors, engineers, laymen, and all kinds of people, and said, can you help me to do this great work? I cannot do it by myself. Is it not an amazing thing? We have engineers, we have doctors, we have laymen, we have professionals. We need all these men to do a great work for the Lord. It is amazing to me the moment I read this. They said, let us rise up and build. Let us do it. Now, I often tell people, I've been in the ministry about 40 years. I often tell people, only one group of people I cannot stand, the pessimists. Anything you try to do, they all have negative thoughts. He said, please don't share that with me. Let us be positive. Let us do something. So that's what Nehemiah and his people said. They all knew there were oppositions, there were difficulties, but they said, let us go ahead and do it. God is looking for such men and women who could be involved in the work of God. Friends, there is a great urgency for this great work. John chapter 4, verse 35 to 38, I'm not going to read, but few I would like to read. The Lord himself said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. There are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, the time is running out. The clock is ticking fast. Men and women, they are dying and going to hell. What are we going to do? That was the attitude of the disciples. The Lord said, Say ye not, there are at 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, what? Lift up. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Can you just have a look on the fields? The Islamic world, the Hindu world, the Buddhist world, the all kinds of religious people. Have a look. The Lord said they are white already to harvest. They are ready to go to hell. The Lord is challenging them. The very same word is challenging us. Can you see men and women dying and going to hell? I often come across people who would say, I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not interested to tell others about Christ. I tell them, when you go home, read Gospel of Luke chapter 19, 16, verses 19 down to 31. Read the story. That's a real story, as a matter of fact, about rich man and Lazarus. You know that. When he was in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus sitting in the bosom of Abraham. There he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. I'm tormented here in this flame. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Friends, that's going to be the ultimate end of all people, irrespective of caste, creed, literate, illiterate. That's going to be the ultimate end. If they don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die and go to hell. The Lord said, launch out. Get out. Move. Tell people. Do your work and labor. The Lord said, The laborers pray there for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Can you imagine? Over 1 billion people in India groping in darkness. We need laborers. What an amazing DVD presentation we have seen about that one of the that African country. Men and women, they die and go to hell. We need to have a passion. We need to pray. We need to have people. Now notice the fourth thing I wanted, not positive attitude. You know, I have confronted problems after problems from people. They fought tooth and nail. They said, no, this is not going to work. In Nehemiah's time, the same thing happened to him. In chapter 2, verse 20, let me go back again. Then on verse 19, when Sanballat and all those group of people came and said, and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. Ye have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. That's boldness. That is boldness. He did not yield. He did not give up. He said, God of heaven, he is going to help us. Therefore, we are going to build. The enemy is out there to discourage you to the work of God. He has so many weapons. One of them is to bring persecution. Another one is discouragement. Now that's anyone who does the work of God is going to happen. It happened to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord was ridiculed during his life and mocked while he was hanging on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men. The Greek philosophers called Paul a babbler. Festus said Paul was out of his mind. But Nehemiah had a positive attitude. God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. Let us not give up. The Lord said, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. He meant it when he said, I am with you. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes when we go and knock on those doors, we think, who is behind the door? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is out there. He is with us. One last thing, my friends. Nehemiah was a man of perception. Perception. Turn to chapter 6, verse 12. 6 verse 12. Now, when all their tricks, devices failed, they called him up and said, hey, let us have a dialogue. Let us have a talk and see what you have to say, what we have to say. Notice how he answered. And lo, I perceived that God hath not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. When the enemy failed in their attack, he approached for a compromise. And Nehemiah said, I perceived. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2 says, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Halfway between Jerusalem and Samaria, that's called Ono. You know what Nehemiah said? I like this. And I often tell my people, you may be sweeping the floor, you may be preaching, you may be cleaning the toilets. Yet Nehemiah was building the walls, you know. He took great pride in it. Notice what he said. Verse 3. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing what? A great work. You may be distributing a tract or telling some people, but you are doing a great work. so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Because the Jews had nothing in common with Sanballat and his crowd. You know, what am I trying to say? No unequal yoke. Nehemiah said, I'm not going to mix with you. I'm not going to listen to you. I have a great work to do. I'm going to do it. The mission work is being destroyed by compromise with the enemies of the gospel. We have nothing in common with the liberals, the neo evangelicals, the charismatics. They preach a different gospel altogether. The gospel you and I preach is different from what they preach. They preach a gospel of prosperity, wealth, health. That's what we hear from God's word. God did not promise us prosperity. He said, anyone who follows me, you are going to have persecution. You are going to have troubles. That's why these big churches are growing day after day. They are attracting people. Come to my church. Your children will be well off. You have a good measure of health. You will have a good job. That's why. Plus, they have the devilish music which comes from the pit of hell. They attract a lot of people. Lot of people. Because they feed the flesh. They say, you don't need to go to that cinema theater. What you get, we will give you here. Come to our church. Come as you are. They destroy the foundation of Christianity by those. The admonition is this, in all this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, what is the takeaway points? Having said all these things, you need to have a passion, you need to pray, you need people, you need positive attitude, you need perception. What am I to do? What is the takeaway point? What is that you can take home? That is what I call takeaway points. Nehemiah was moved by seeing the need. That's the takeaway point. Nehemiah was moved. Now I'm asking you a point blank question to you this evening. Are you moved by seeing your neighbors are dying and going to hell? Your kith and kin dying and going to hell. There is a need in your own family. The place where you work, you hold your peace. But the Lord said, I will require their blood in your hand. It is true. The Lord said, my word is settled in heaven forever and ever. That's our takeaway point. In the midst of opposition, Nehemiah completed the wall in 52 days. And I trust that you will catch the vision. May this mission conference be meaningful. I asked Dr. Vickers, and I'm from India, you know that. I don't know the American culture that well. Even though I made 55 trips to America, this is my 55th time, I don't know much about American culture. I asked him, what is that usually people preach on mission? Often people would say, they go for mission conference and they speak how to raise money. I'm not much of a fundraiser. I can just preach the word of God, how to reach the lost with the gospel. May God Almighty touch our hearts tonight. You might have understood all what I preached. Even if you did not understand some simple truth, five truths, Nehemiah was able to do a great work for the Lord by having a passion. All what you need to do tonight, pray and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion. And say, if you cannot do anything, but you can pray. 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 God answers prayer. I'm a witness for that. How many of you have heard the story of the water in the well? God gave us water. Not many. A lot of new people here, Pastor Jenkins. They haven't heard. How much time? Can I take one more minute? You know, for the benefit of those who never heard, may I say this? God answers prayer. We prayed some 29 years ago for water. We bought a property, 11 acres, and we had two open wells and two poultry sheds. Both the wells dried up in 3 months' time, and I asked the Lord, Lord, why did you bring us to this place? No water, very dry. The heathen people around us, they drilled 7 wells, none of them got a drop of water. We started to pray and ask the Lord to give us $5,000 for a drill well. The Lord provided $5,000. When I got that money, I was greatly excited about God's provision. Went back to India, got in touch with a company to come and drill a well for us. Before the man started to drill the well, we went there with the Bible, read a portion from the Bible and prayed, sang a couple of hymns. We asked the man to drill. He went up to 400 feet. He looked at me and said, there is no water here. Your story is going to be like the story of the other people who drill, the heathen people, they drill 7 wells. None of them got a drop of water. Our man started drill. He went up to 400 feet. He looked at me and said, sir, there is no water here. I asked him to drill 50 more feet, no water. Again, another 25 more feet, no water. By that time, 5:30 in the morning, a lot of heathen people, they gathered around that place. As soon as they came, they asked me, what happened? Did you get any water? I said, no. They reached the conclusion, your God is powerless as our gods are. My heart was truly broken and crushed. 5:30 in the morning, 3 of us sat there and prayed, a simple prayer. You cannot influence God by using high-sounding vocabulary or words. Very simple words. I said, Lord, not unto us, but for your name's sake, give us water here in this place so that these heathen people might believe that you are the true and the living God. As soon as I prayed, my heart was full of peace. I went to the man who was drilling the well. I said, go ahead and drill a little more. He gave me a nasty look and said, no, I'm not going to do it. There is no water here. It's going through one solid piece of rock. I said, I'm paying. You are going to drill a little more. He said, I will drill a little more. To make the long story short, my friend, he drilled 5 more feet. About 40 feet up in the air, water shot from that well. When I saw water gushing out, I turned to those people and said, our God answers prayer. That day I brought a company to come and test the capacity of the well. 18 long hours we pumped the water at the rate of 3,000 gallons, which is almost 12,000 liters. This is the 28th year we have been pumping water from that well. If you would allow me to tell what happened there on campus, my friend, I could give you our words together, how God Almighty answered our prayers. You pray, God can move the hearts of men and women to reach the lost with the gospel. Would you pray tonight and say, Lord, give me a heart to pray. You asked us to pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. This church is a soul-winning church. You have a burden. You have a vision for the whole world. Thank God for that. But we can use the prayer of many more people to reach the lost with the gospel. Nehemiah was able to accomplish that great task by having passion. He prayed. He sought the help of people. We need people. Without your help, we cannot do it. I can tell you, all across this country, men and women helped us with their prayer and with their finance. I'm ever thankful to the Lord for their sacrificial giving. Therefore, we have over 4,000 graduates on the field today. Over 4,000 graduates on field serving the Lord. We see on a regular basis people coming to know the Lord. Over 1,000 churches have been established all across Asia. How? Because you people gave. You prayed. Many of them, widows have given. They are having a big account in eternity, my friend. In eternity. So Nehemiah was a man of passion. He prayed. He sought the help of people. Then he had that positive attitude. And also he had perception. Would you pray tonight and say, Lord, give me perception. Help me to perceive what is happening around me. If we practice these five simple truths, we can make a difference wherever we are. May God Almighty speak to our hearts, Pastor.
Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. You've heard a great message from a great man of God. And I wonder, how's the Lord speaking to your heart? You know, one way the Lord spoke to my heart is there's some people sitting here tonight that you need God to give you water, don't you? You keep praying, begging God. Just going to ask him to begin to play through softly. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Tonight is the night of salvation. Today's the day when you turn to Christ. If you do not know for sure that heaven is your home, please come. Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. If you are saved and God is speaking to your heart, we ask Brother Gary just to sing one verse. If nobody comes, we'll be done. Somebody responds, we'll keep going as the Lord so leads. Father, we love you now. Bless in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, you come now. Would you do it?
Have thine own way.
I'd like to ask our ladies, if you feel so led, to come and let's surround Miss Pat Shaw here. She's having some tests run. There's some things that just unsure about. You ladies, come now, please. Let's surround her and ask God. This will be our closing prayer tonight. Before we pray, let me give you just some closing announcements, and we'll conclude in prayer here tonight. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Right in your place, Brother Eric Porterfield, our blind missionary to South Sudan, will be the preacher tomorrow night. And you want to come, you want to be a part of that, 7 o'clock. All the children, I hope you'll bring them back for their things. Please stay with us after church tonight. Go through the gymnasium. Our missionaries will be there. I want to go ahead and dismiss our missionaries, if they wouldn't mind, and the host families, if you'll go with them. Many of you have children, just go to the gymnasium to pick them up. Make sure they get their stamps and their passports, all of this tonight. Brother Harry, if you'll make sure that Brother Cherian gets over there as well, I appreciate that. It'll be very good. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. I'll ask Brother Gary, sir, if you wouldn't mind to come to the platform here, to the podium, and you lead us in prayer, asking for God's peace in Miss Pat Shaw's life.
Lord, we've just heard a wonderful illustration of the power of prayer. And Lord, prayer is powerful because we have a powerful God. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God who hears and knows and is able to do. And we're asking you, Lord, to help Pat now. She has these tests, Lord. You know the uncertainty. You know what's going on in her life. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide the physicians, give them wisdom and direction, that they might know how to help Pat at this time. And Lord, she's been suffering for a long time, been through a lot of things physically. And Lord, she needs a healing touch. And Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that you have the ability to heal her. God, it may be a mystery to the doctors, but it's not to you. And we're just asking you to do a special work in her life. God, give her special grace in this time of need. Pray for Brother Joe that you'd minister to him, to the family at this time. And Lord, just do a mighty work in their life. Lord, a mighty work of healing or a mighty work of grace. And Lord, we pray you just help them in a special way. May you be glorified in their lives through this difficult time, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to continue to think about the things we've heard tonight, to apply them to our hearts and to our lives, that our lives would be changed. And Lord, even tomorrow, as we go about our day, lead us to someone we can tell about Christ. Lord, it'd be a wonderful thing that we could come back rejoicing tomorrow night and people have won folks to Christ. Lord, bless throughout the rest of the evening, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stay with us now. Dr. Cherian is leaving tomorrow. So please go through the gymnasium, shake his hand. Please stay with us and have a snack and fellowship with the missionaries. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.